The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, Ivan in for Pat, causing mayhem as always. Another man causing mayhem is Donald Trump. Yesterday, he held a press conference alongside his Secretary for Health and Human Services, RFK, that is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And during that conference, he falsely claimed link between paracetamol, under its American market name of Tylenol, to autism. He made other false pronouncements on its causes on vaccines. So in a moment, we're going to be joined by both Adam Harris, who, of course, is the founder and CEO of As I Am, and by Dr. Brendan O'Shea to give us a clinical expert. He lectures at Trinity and is a GP in Dublin and Kildare. But first, let's listen to the man himself.
First, effective immediately, the FDA will be notifying physicians that the use of acetaminophen. Is that okay? Yes. So taking Tylenol is not good. All right, I'll say it. It's not good. We've learned some pretty good things about certain elements of genius that can be given to a baby, and the baby can get better. When the alternative is that nothing bad can happen, let's do it now. I was just saying to Bobby and the group, let's do it now. Nothing bad can happen. It can only good happen.
Well, we'll see. Dr. Brendan O'Shea, what say you?
Well, I think the first thing is this is not a health story. This is a political story. This was a clip from, I think, 5 o'clock yesterday in the United States. That's what he was doing yesterday. What's he doing today? Today, Donald Trump is standing up in front of the United Nations, I understand, trying to justify the US involvement in what's going on in Gaza. So this really has all the hallmarks of a distractive, disruptive political story, not a health story. And it's really unconscionable. I mean, these are the people who had us drinking bleach to treat COVID back in the pandemic. These are the people who've presided over a significant reduction in life expectancy through mismanagement of public health in the United States, even while we've been able to increase ours in Ireland during the same time. These are the people who are presiding over an inevitable increase in preventable diseases, including fatal complications and serious complications from measles, from COVID, from preventable influenza illnesses in vulnerable populations. So these are the people who are bringing us this story. It's not a health story. It's a political story.
Okay. Let's just take RFK for a moment and his line on anti-vaccines and so on. Where is the US Department of Health? Just leave Trump out of it for a moment. What is it? What, like, is there any science to this? Is there any research? Is autism even on the increase?
Rates of autism and prevalence of autism have significantly increased. And any of us in practice over the last decades can see that in Ireland and everywhere else. And it is understood that a significant part, and probably the major part of this increase, relates to changes in diagnostic criteria, a better understanding of what is undoubtedly a complicated and important condition, and a gradual improvement in what can be done for it. Now, it's really a work in progress, and parents who are caring for children with autism still have a really tough job. But that is what we are looking at here, almost certainly, and the consensus is very strong around this, that the increase in rates significantly, substantially relates to changes in diagnostic criteria. We see a parallel process with ADHD, for example. And sometimes in practice, you know, we do say to ourselves, are there any perfectly normal people left? To which the answer might be no, that we're very complicated, we're complex. But as a result of increasing understanding and better understanding of these conditions, that almost certainly is what's primarily increasing the prevalence, which is the extent to which the condition is present in any population.
Okay, but just on the science, are you born with ADHD or autism? Is that the case?
I think the consensus would be that there are factors laid down there. Genetic factors are felt to be particularly important. They're not exclusively important. But probably to a significant extent, you're dealt this particular hand, you're dealt these genes, all of us are dealt the genetic hand that we get, and probably the factors that result in autism, which is classically diagnosed from 1 and especially from 2 years on, are probably laid down by the time that you're born.
All right. I know you're a very busy man, Brendan. We'll let you get back to your day job. Dr. Brendan O'Shea, who lectures in Trinity College in Public Health and Primary Care and is also in the front line of primary care in Dublin and Kildare. Well, joining us in studio now is Adam Harris, founder and CEO of As I Am, which is one of the leading national organisations in relation to autism. What's your response to this story?
I think the only word that we could use to describe is one of horror, because I think listening to the press conference last night, it was like being brought 20 or 30 years back in time, where we saw long disproven tropes around the so-called causes of autism once again spread and once again platformed in an official way. I want to be really clear that this isn't without significant harm. Not only does it lead to a rise in stigma around autism, it leads to a growth in what is a cottage industry of misproven and non-evidence-based so-called treatments around autism. And of course, it poses broader public health concerns, both for pregnant women and also in terms of preventable disease. But the really important message, I think, is that the entire press conference last night was framed as if autistic people were the problem, or as both Secretary Kennedy and President Trump have previously described us, were burdens within society. In Ireland, we don't take that approach to autism. We see autism as a difference, a natural variation in human neurology, and we've moved away from the medical model, as the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities requires us to, a convention that we've signed and ratified, unlike the United States.
Now, Brennan made the point that diagnostics have improved. You know, people who previously had trouble reading, now it's dyslexia and so on. What is the story there in terms of things that we can now diagnose as autism or DHD or on the spectrum and so on that wasn't the case previously?
So I think what's really actually important is this conversation comes at a time where just last week, Ireland's National Disability Authority published a paper for the first time on prevalence of autism. And one of the most important findings in that paper that's written very clearly in black and white is that there is no evidence of overdiagnosis of autism in Ireland. What we have seen in recent years is a massive growth in understanding of autism. We've seen shifts in the diagnostic criteria of autism from DSM-4 to DSM-5. We see more autistic girls access diagnosis than in the past, more minority groups. It's now possible to get a diagnosis of both autism and ADHD, which it wasn't in the past. But I think one of the biggest shifts we've seen in the last decade or so is actually the voices of autistic people, really informing clinical practice, informing our understanding of autism. And what's very interesting is when you contrast that with some of what we're hearing from the United States, or indeed the spread of misinformation more generally, which is on the rise, is it's always absent the voices of lived experiences and absent the voices of autistic people. And it's bringing us back to the time again where we're talking about autistic people being the problem. Secretary Kennedy said last night that, you know, he doesn't know anyone his own age in the United States who's 70, who has high support needs, who's autistic. The reality is, in most of our societies, including Ireland, people with higher support needs were segregated from our societies from a very, very young age. So when people say to me, I didn't meet people in my school growing up, you probably didn't, because we institutionalise more people in Ireland per capita than any other nation on earth.
Okay. And I get that, you know, primarily As I Am looks at the support and the care of people with autism. But surely there is a genuine question of if there is an element of prevention here, in the same way that pregnant women shouldn't take alcohol or so on. Are you absolutely sort of setting your face against any possibility, leaving aside autism, that there is clinical advice to say that pregnant women should not take medications that other people, you know, kind of no effect on? What's your attitude to that?
I think the really important thing to say is none of what we heard last night was presented in the context of any evidence base. But what I think is really important also here is the fact that autistic people have consistently asked that instead of an investment in trying to cure or treat autistic people, what we need to see is an investment in why do autistic people have much poorer mental health outcomes? Why do so many autistic people have co-occurring conditions that can lead to death, such as epilepsy? Why do autistic people have lower life expectancies and poorer quality of life? That's where we should be putting our investment, and that's where we should be putting our time. I think the really important thing to remind people at home tonight, or today I should say, who maybe are autistic, who have autistic people in their families, Ireland is not a US state. And the advice of Irish medical authorities, Irish medical practitioners, still, I suppose, there are rich rules here. And we're very clear in Ireland that none of what was said last night is evidence-based or should be taken seriously, quite frankly, by anyone.
Adam Harris, founder and CEO of As I Am, thank you for joining us and elucidating on that.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.